from one of our own here. Paula Figaro, a sister of great wisdom and substance, is going to be sharing the good word today. And so let's greet her and thank God for her today. She comes and shares.
Good morning, everyone. Let me move this out of the way a little bit. I always think that maybe I should sit on the stool, but I don't know that it'll make any difference. So let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given to us. We thank you for bringing us together to hear from you. And I ask, Lord, that the words I speak would be your words and not my own. And I thank you for your word of encouragement today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So I call it a word of encouragement, but if you saw the title on the notes, you're going to wonder what I'm talking about. So the title is The Second Abomination. And this comes from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Now, first of all, you're going to say, well, what about the first abomination? Well, if you're wondering about that, you're in luck. You can go look at our notes on our website, on our messages on our website, because I actually did preach a message about the first abomination back in December of 2021. So that's back there if you want to go listen to it. But today we're going to talk about the second abomination and the sixth, because they're kind of very connected. And I've always wondered, it starts out saying there are six things that the Lord hates, and then it says seven that are an abomination to him. And I've always wondered, why is it six and seven? And I kind of think this second abomination, a lying tongue, and the sixth, false witness who breathes out lies, are so connected that you could kind of lump them together so it becomes six things, not seven things. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So first of all, a lying tongue. Now, I have to tell you that, you know, I am thankful for modern technology because it lets me search the Bible very easily without having to read through myself. Because I used to have to like go into a concordance and find this word and then see all the scriptures that reference this word. And it was a long process, but now you can just search. And everything just comes up magically. So it makes things a lot easier. But there is so much in the Bible about lying that I had to pick and choose to come up with this, all these verses that are in our notes today. But let's start with Psalm 78, verses 35 to 36. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer. So these are God's people. But they flattered him with their mouths. They lied to him with their tongues. Isaiah 59, verses 2 and 3. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. So these are people who belong to God. This is their God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue mutters wickedness. Proverbs 26:28. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Lies are not just little white lies. We like to think lies are just little white lies. But the lies we speak with our mouth, we have to answer to God for them eventually. The Bible says that we will answer for every word that is spoken. And so I want us to think about a little bit about lying. And the first thing I want you to think about is, how much do you lie to yourself? Are you really honest with yourself about who you are, what you like, what you do, what you don't like? Because if you're not honest with yourself, you can't really be honest with anybody else. If you won't even admit to yourself who you are, and what you things you do and what motivates you. I don't know how you can be honest with anyone around you, but mostly you can't be honest with God. I don't know if you were listening to Pastor's opening and the songs that we sang this morning, but it was all about God telling us how much He wants us to be with Him. He wants us to be close to Him. And you know, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the first thing they did was lie to God about who they were. They sewed fig leaves on themselves to hide their nakedness, to hide who they were. So they deceived themselves by trying to cover themselves with fig leaves, and then they tried to deceive God. But really, God sees through everything. But the thing about God is that, you know, He does not force Himself on us. He invites us to come to Him. And so we can put up fig leaves in front of us. We can put up a facade, try and make ourselves look good to the rest of the world or look good to ourselves. We can try and hide behind walls that we build that are false and deceitful. And He sees behind it anyway, but He lets us keep our walls if we really want them, because He doesn't force Himself on us. But that wall that we erect is a hindrance. It's an obstacle between us and God. And we can't get any closer to Him because we hit a wall that we have built through our own lies and our own self-deception. And so if we can't even do that with God, what do you think our relationship with other people is going to be? I mean, they can't even see behind the wall. At least God can see behind the wall. He knows what we are, really. But the people can't, right? But there's another aspect to lying that warranted its own section in Proverbs 6, 16, 19, which is a false witness who breathes out lies. It's one thing to deceive ourselves, whether it's because of shame or, you know, we just want to be better. We think we want to be better than what God made us. And by the way, being honest with who you are is about acknowledging what God created. Because God created you just the way you are. So if you don't think you're good enough, then you're telling God He's not good enough. He made a mistake when He made you. So don't for a minute believe the lie that you are not good enough. God created you to be who you are and to be the way you are. But anyway, let's go back to lying. There's another kind of lying that really upsets God, and that is bearing false witness against a brother. Because when you bear false witness against another person, you are intentionally trying to bring them harm. You're not, you know, picking up a gun and shooting them, but you might as well be. In Proverbs 12, verse 17, whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. Proverbs 25, 18, a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club or a sword or a sharp arrow. When you bear false witness against your neighbor, your brothers and sisters in Christ, it's like taking a club to their head. It's like piercing them through with a sword or shooting them in the back with an arrow. Deuteronomy 19, verses 18 through 19. The judges shall inquire diligently, and if the witness is a false witness and has accused his brother falsely, then you shall do to him as he had meant to do to his brother. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. God took this so seriously that when He put the law in place through Moses for His chosen people, Israel, He said, look, this is real evil. You have to purge this from your midst. You can't have false witnesses. And if anybody intentionally tries to bring harm to somebody by witnessing falsely against them, whatever they intended, whatever harm they intended for that victim of their lies, that's what you do to them. That's going to be their punishment. That's their consequence. And I'll just remind you, we are God's people. And who is our judge? God is our judge. And this was his standard that he gave to his people. So I think maybe he'll be following that standard, dealing with us. So be careful what you say about your brother or sister, you know, especially if it's with the intent to bring harm to them. You know, you accuse them falsely of something because you want somebody else to think badly of them, or you want them to suffer some consequence. I don't know why, but be careful of those things. Now, the truth is that out in the world, and I've been talking about God's people and us, because the world actually can't help but lie. In Proverbs 17, verse 4, it says, "An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue." In Psalm 10, verse 7, this is the wicked person they're talking about, "His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity." In Deuteronomy 25, verses 15 to 16, "A full and fair weight you shall have, a full and fair measure you shall have, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. For all who do such things, all who act dishonestly, are an abomination to the Lord your God." The world, like it or not, until Jesus comes again, belongs to the devil. It's his world. And the world follows his ways. And God cares not just what you say, but how you act. Because you could say truthful words, but you can act deceitfully. And so one example here is like having false weights and measures, right? So you're saying, "Oh yeah, that's 5 pounds. You know, it's going to cost you $20 for that 5 pounds, but it's really 4.5 pounds, right? And you say, "Look at the scale. The scale says it's 5 pounds." So you're saying the truth. The scale really says it's 5 pounds, but you have a false set of scales, and it's actually only 4.5 pounds. In Proverbs 15, verse 28, it says, "The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." In Matthew 15, starting in verse 19, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person." And in 2 John 1, verse 7, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist." So before we were saved, we were deceivers, because that's just the way of the world. And if you're a deceiver, you're against Christ. You have the spirit of the Antichrist working in you. Because as I said, before we're saved and until Jesus comes again, the whole world is under the sway of the devil. And who is he? He is the father of lies. In John chapter 8, verse 44, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." The devil is the one who introduced lies to the world. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" The first lie that was spoken in the earth, spoken by the serpent to Eve. And she was deceived. You know, I think we come down hard on Eve sometimes. We're like, "Oh, woman, how could you be so stupid?" But if you think about it, like, nobody had ever spoken a lie before, ever. Like, everything that was ever said, everybody could believe because it was always the truth. So it's kind of, when you think about it, not surprising that she believed it, right? She'd believed everything else before. Why would you not believe this? Because she didn't know she couldn't trust him. He could not be trusted. You know, we have to be careful if we are in a position of trust that we don't lie to them. So I'm hoping there aren't too many little kids in here because I'm going to give some spoilers for little kids. So parents, bear with me here. We, in the world, play games with our kids that involve lying to them. So when our kids were growing up and they lost a tooth, we said to them, you can put your tooth under the pillow and the tooth fairy will come and give you 25 cents, give you a quarter or a dime, whatever it is you give your kid. But you know, that bothered us, lying to our kids. So we told them, the tooth fairy, your dad, will come and give you 25 cents for your tooth. So we kind of played the game, but we were honest with them. We said, there's no such thing as a tooth fairy. It's your dad. He's going to come and give you some money. How many of you give your gifts, your kids gifts at Christmas time from Santa Claus? How many of us teach our kids as they're growing up that Santa Claus is real? Because it's magical and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And then the day comes when they discover, Mom and Dad have been lying to me all my life. Up until that age, that's all their lives. And what does that do? You have just built a wall between you and your kids because you have taught them you are not to be trusted. You have taught them that you think so poorly of them that you can pull the wool over their eyes because they're stupid. They're not smart enough to see the truth. And they were, because they were kids. But now they know that that's what you think of them. You have disrespected them all their lives by lying to them. Sorry, I know that's kind of hard. But do we embrace the truth or not? So we told our kids, yeah, Santa Claus is not real. He's not real. But it's a game that some parents play with their kids, so please don't spoil it if those parents choose to play with their kids. Don't tell other kids that he's not real. We try to not ruin things for other people. We don't want to offend other people, but our kids knew the truth. He's not real. So let's talk about the truth. John chapter 1, verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 17, 17 ends with, your word is truth. John 14, 16 through 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The truth is Christ. The truth is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. God is truth. The father of lies or the truth? It's your choice who you want to be close to, who you want to follow, whose ways you want to embrace. And again, all of those songs we sang this morning, about drawing close to Jesus, that requires us to draw close to the truth, because he is the truth. And God wants us to embrace the truth. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants to take everyone out there in the world from under the sway of the father of lies and show them truth. He wants to show us truth. Even after we've been saved, we can still hide behind self-deception, trying to deceive other people. He wants to show us the truth. He wants to show us who we are. He wants to show us who he is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. We're studying 1 John on Wednesday nights right now, and there's so much in 1 John that talks about walking in the light and embracing the light. And that really is just another way of saying the truth. Because the thing with light is it exposes what's really there. You know, when you're in the dark, yeah, it's kind of hard to see all the details. But shine a really bright light on something, and yeah, you can see every little thing. You can see every little flaw. You know, all the ladies who have makeup mirrors with all the bright lights, right? So you know what to cover up with your makeup. We do it all the time. John chapter 8, verse 32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And here's the big, big benefit. Freedom. Freedom to just be who you are and not worry about what anybody else thinks about it. If you embrace the truth and you're honest with yourself about who you are and honest with God about who you are, he's going to help you to be okay with who you are, because he made you to be who you are. He didn't make a mistake. He did not make any mistakes. Don't think for a minute that there is something wrong with who you are. There may be something wrong with the choices we make. You know, we do that. We mess up. We make mistakes. We sin. But God is aware of that, and he just says, okay, come and confess your sins to me. We'll clean it up, right? He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness as long as we come to him and fess up. 2 John chapter 1, verse 4, I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. John was that disciple who would lean on the breast of Jesus and arguably the closest apostle to Jesus when he was walking on the earth. And I think he, more than any of the disciples, sought to know the heart of Jesus. And this in his three different apostles, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, here's the thing I want most of all, the thing that's going to make me happiest, is to know that you are walking in the truth. All of our flaws, all of our failures, all of our sin, all of our iniquity, all of that that God wants to clean up, right? That's the whole reason he has a body of Christ here on the earth, is he wants to make us more and more like Jesus. We are asked to be holy just as he is holy, right? Well, how? I don't know how to be holy. So we have to come to him and ask for help. But you can't ask for help unless you're being honest, right? If you won't even acknowledge to yourself what you need help with, you're not going to go to God and ask him to help you with it. You're not going to go to a brother or sister in Christ and ask for advice, ask for counsel. And the body of Christ is there for that, to help us. Because God will work through our brothers and sisters in Christ to speak wisdom to us, you know. It's one thing for somebody to stand up here and talk to you. I mean, I can talk to you, but I don't know what you're going through. Because it's not a conversation, right? This is just me giving you information. But when you get together in small groups or men's Bible study, or women's Bible study, or you come Bible study on a Wednesday night, you have an opportunity to actually talk honestly with your brothers and sisters in Christ about things that matter and ask for their advice, ask for wisdom, ask for them to pray for you, right? We can pray for each other. And this sounds like a really heavy message because it's so, yeah, you're all bad because you lie all the time, right? Because we're all thinking about, ooh, all the times that I've lied. Isn't that what you're thinking about right now? But you know what? We all are in the same boat. And so if you come to a brother or a sister in Christ and say, hey, I have this issue, I have this problem, I need help, they're not going to be like, because you know what? They're like, yeah, I kind of know exactly what you're talking about. Right? Because I have that same problem too. So take heart, because this is not a word of condemnation. You know, Christ said he did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save us. And so, you know, like when you were little and your mom and dad said, okay, we need to have a come to Jesus moment here. Right? What are they saying? We need to talk honestly with each other about something important. So come to Jesus. Embrace the truth. All right? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that even when we don't want to be honest with ourselves, you are always honest with us. And we thank you for your honesty, your truthfulness. We thank you for your Spirit of truth who can help us to become more truthful, more honest. Help us to look into the Word, to see ourselves in the Word, and not walk away pretending we didn't see what we saw. Help us to be honest with what you reveal to us each and every day. Help us to seek that truth and to embrace Jesus, to embrace truth. We love you, Lord, and we ask that you would forgive us for all the times that we have denied you, denied ourselves, denied who we are, denied the truth about ourselves. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to walk in truth, to walk in the light, so that we can walk hand in hand with you, Lord, just as you desire. And we thank you for doing that for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you,
Pastor. That was another instance of the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in its wings. I took that as like healing salve. I didn't take that as heavy or burdensome at all. That was wonderful. I was listening to someone that was talking about a near-death experience that they had. I don't believe they were a Christian, but he described it just wonderfully. He said it was the loss of persona. That is, there was no sense of having to pretend anymore, just reality. No more masking, no more, you know, disguise, wondering about, you know, where you're at or who you're with, so I got to act this way or that way. That persona just disappeared. And I've just been contemplating that lately. I mean, there is such a thing as being foolishly honest. So, you know, you don't broadcast everything to everybody. But just to at the very least, as we heard, foundational is to just be open and honest to God and say, here I am. And not to have to try to dress it up with a bunch of religious words and stuff, because he loves you and he wants to engage. And the Word of God says in the book of Revelation that he loves the truth and he hates lies. Loves the truth. And so if we could stand, we'll just ask God to help us to reinforce that. And by the way, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that's where you start. You come unto him, he wants to embrace you. And so if you haven't yet embraced him by faith, I'd love to pray for you after the service today. But if you want to today, just kind of release the burden Like last week, I talked about how labor-intensive that was to put together those fig leaves that we heard about this morning. A lot of work. And just be real with God, and as he gives us occasion to be real with each other. If that's you, just want to kind of have that relief and that release, just raise those hands to God. Lord, let us be free like the children that you've designed for us to be. Let us have the joy of walking in the truth and speaking truth to one another. And let there be that freedom that comes with it, the relief of stress and how do I act and trying to dress things up all the time. Lord, just let us be free. Let this church be an authentic bunch of people that are free to love each other. And even when we hear things that might disturb, that we just absorb it and that there's healing in the body. That's the way you designed it. Help us to draw together in smaller groups, especially as we see the day approaching, where that type of reality in life can occur. Lord, I commit my brothers and sisters to you and to your capable hands until we gather again. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings upon you.